In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Fashion shows, fish fries, bake sales, and bingo. When I was growing up, those were just a few things that took place at church besides Sunday Mass. The churches I attended as a child and even into adulthood did not have endowment funds or super rich people who died and left tons of money. These events were necessary facts of life if we wanted to keep the lights on and the school doors open. Fast forward, and things haven't changed all that much. In recent years, churches of various denominations, including All Saints and Ascension, have found themselves with fewer and fewer members and less in the offering plates. As a result, many churches, especially Black churches, have closed or merged or found creative ways to keep the doors open and to pay bills. Even during this season of Lent, and in the midst of continued social distancing, it is not unusual to see signs popping up announcing fish fries here and there. That said, I wonder what Jesus would think. Would he come and overturn trivia tables or send fish fillets flying through the air along with cash boxes? The story of the cleansing of the temple is one that is familiar to many of us. It is found in all four Gospels. And if we've been paying close enough attention, we find that Matthew, Mark, and Luke all place the scene toward the end of Jesus' life and ministry, and shortly after Palm Sunday, when Jesus and his disciples came into the city of Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. John, however, places the cleansing of the temple in the second chapter, right after the wedding feast of Cana. Like other faithful Jewish people in his time, Jesus came into Jerusalem for the Passover, and he went to the temple, Judaism's most sacred place, to pray. And instead of finding a place of solace, Jesus found a place of chaos. The court of the Gentiles looked, sounded, and smelled like an open flea market. Imagine, if you will, the sounds of cattle and sheep mooing and bleating all at the same time. The constant flapping of wings and the coos of caged doves. And of course, vendors and money changers and pilgrims all noisily conducting business as they had done for generations. You see, a whole system had been put in place for this temple business. The temple tax and the purchase of animals for sacrifice had to be paid in temple coinage and not with coins that bore the image of Caesar. One had to exchange Roman currency for temple money. And as we know from our banking systems today, everything seemed to come with an added fee. And not just any old offering would do. One was to sacrifice ritually clean animals that had no spots, no blemishes. What better place to get such an animal than right there in the temple? Into this den walks Jesus. Like many prophets before him, Jesus criticized the temple cult. He was not the first to cry out against the abuse found in the house of God. Centuries before Jesus, the prophet Micah asked, Will God be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of oil? God has told you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? The prophet Amos raised a similar cry, as did Jeremiah. And like those great prophets and more, Jesus' mission was to draw people back to the heart of God, back to authentic worship, and back to God's commandment, especially the first. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other God before me. This was and is the commandment grounded in relationship, the relationship between God and God's people. Jesus saw this scene of chaos and his practices for what they were, a grave disrespect and an unnecessary barrier between God and God's people. Because people, especially the poor, were being exploited, and he had had enough. So making a whip of cords, John tells us that Jesus went throughout the temple, driving out cattle, sheep, and doves, spilling coins and overturning tables. There was to be no more business as usual in his Father's house. Remember the purpose of why you are here, Jesus is saying. And above all, remember who you are and whose you are. Not this. Jesus made enemies that day, to be sure, by disrupting what had become acceptable. But going forward, Jesus spent the rest of his ministry turning over tables, challenging the tables of conventional wisdom, challenging the status quo, challenging a system that segregated rather than embraced all God's people. By his coming into the world, Jesus was certainly about helping people realize that God was not out of reach, but that God was present and doing a new thing among them, just as God did when God led God's people out of bondage and into the land of promise. We are now in the midpoint in the season in Lent, and there is so much to grasp from today's readings. One thing that is put before us is a reminder that God is ever present, ever reachable, ever creating something new. Jesus didn't just overturn tables because he was disgusted or angry, but because it was time to throw out and overturn business as usual. It was time. It was time to do a new thing. It was time to get rid of practices and trappings that stood in the way of humanity reaching God. Those sacrifices and offerings were not what God wanted. God wanted love, faithfulness, and trust. For humanity to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with God, to do its part in God's plan for salvation. And that stands true today. This past year, and currently with its dual pandemics, has disrupted our lives in so many ways. Families have lost loved ones. Many have not been able to mourn them in the way that we wish. So many others are struggling to pick up the pieces and fill voids. Parents and grandparents and guardians are trying to do everyday stuff and help their children with online learning at the same time. Juggling so many, many things. There are children who are forced or willing to put their own lives on the line. We have all had to be extra cautious and extra creative in being about the business of life, doing our jobs, getting what we need, going where we need to go, being safe, being church the best way we know how. We are all living into new definitions of freedom and democracy, which at times can be troubling. And we are all living into a new normal. It's been rough. But like those little blades of grass and the buds on the trees, there are signs of hope. There are communities, organizations, churches, and individuals who are coming together in new ways to help others. Perhaps today God is asking of us as individuals and as a church, what tables are we willing to overturn? What are the things we are willing to cast aside for the sake of the kingdom? What does our zeal look like as we strive to do God's will in all that we undertake? What does our zeal compel us to do for the sake of our sisters and brothers? How might we overturn the status quo? How might we be about helping to change systems that do not take into consideration justice and equality and the welfare of all God's people? How might we dream and vision, create something new instead of relying on the same old? What needs to be thrown out and brought in order to build up our relationships with our Creator and with each other? Sisters and brothers, it's a lot. But it is time to throw out and overturn business as usual. May God, our God, help us to trust and obey. May God, our God, continue to give us strength and courage for the journey that lies before us. Amen.